You are listening to another presentation from the Environment Institute at the University of Adelaide.
Thank you very much, Kane. Today I'm going to talk about the need to improve hydrological model predictions. Why are hydrological model predictions important? As Graham said, if we want to understand our impacts of climate change, we need to... understand the impacts of climate change, we generally take the either historical or global climate models and put that through a hydrological model, and then we do whatever risk analysis we're interested in, whether that be drought, flood, or ecological risk. So the hydrological model provides a key link between the climate...
You are listening to another presentation from the Environment Institute at the University of Adelaide.
Thank you very much, Kane. Today I'm going to talk about the need to improve hydrological model predictions. Why are hydrological model predictions important? As Graham said, if we want to understand our impacts of climate change, we need to... understand the impacts of climate change, we generally take the either historical or global climate models and put that through a hydrological model, and then we do whatever risk analysis we're interested in, whether that be drought, flood, or ecological risk. So the hydrological model provides a key link between the climate data, model projections, and the management decisions that you're interested in. If our hydrological model provides poor predictions, then we're going to get poor management decisions. Hydrological and environmental models have highly varying predictive capabilities. In some cases they do well, in some cases they don't. The uncertainty in these predictions is a fairly major feature, but is currently poorly understood. If we want to understand and quantify this uncertainty, it's critical for robust operational applications here. And you can see a time series of observed and simulated data here, and the bottom shows the difference between the two. We do pretty well in some periods, however, for other periods we don't do so well. For example here, I'm predicting the peak by a factor of two. Okay? So what's caused that big difference? The rain gauge misses the rainfall? Or was our stream flow rating curve extrapolated beyond what we've measured? Or perhaps the model has missed some key process? Having an understanding of what the uncertainty is crucial for improving our predictions. So why do we want to know our predictive uncertainty? There are two major reasons. If we can reliably quantify that predictive uncertainty, we can make more robust and informed decision-making. Let's look at an example here. We've got two actions, action A and action B. This is increasing system performance, and this is your performance failure. So the performance gets better the further you move along this axis. Your performance failure, if you're looking at droughts, that might be something like the dam running out of water. If you're looking at stream health, failure might be the death of a species. Okay, if you just look at there's no uncertainty here, you might look at your most likely outcome, you would clearly choose action B. It clearly outperforms action A. However, when we look at uncertainty, what we actually find is that action B has a greater uncertainty to it than action A. Okay? And action B, therefore, has actually a higher probability of failure. So with the uncertainty, if you're a risk-averse manager, you would choose the action that has the lower probability of failure. In this case, you would actually choose action A, because action B here, even though the overall performance is, on average, is better, there is a higher probability of failure. Without that sort of information, you can't make those sort of risk-based decisions. And this is where quantifying the uncertainty leads to better, more informed decision-making and better risk-based decisions. The second reason to look at uncertainty is if you can quantify the sources of uncertainty, you can make strategic investments to improve your model predictions. So here's another example where we've got two time series. The dots are the observed and the blue here is your 90% prediction limits. These are probability limits. The red area here is the predictive uncertainty due to your model parameters. So you can see in this particular example, the model parameters have a very small contribution to the overall predictive uncertainty. So there's no point in getting better model parameters when the rest of uncertainty lies elsewhere. So if we can understand and quantify these sources of uncertainty, we can make much more strategic investments in collecting more data or better understanding process. And this provides clear avenues for reducing the predictive uncertainty. So what are the sources of uncertainty? Okay, this diagram here shows at the top here you've got your reality. In the real world, we have real inputs, put them through a set of real processes to get a set of real outputs. In the model, the world which most of us live in, which is the model world, which we make decisions, we have a set of observed inputs. We have a mathematical model which only has an approximation to the processes, and we compare that against a set of observed outputs. The difference between these two worlds is the errors. In hydrological modelling, one of the biggest sources of error is your rainfall error. Rainfall is highly variable due to climate and topography. And you've only got these rain gauges, which are about this big, and they're used to estimate very sparse rainfall field. You're looking at sampling about between 1 millionth and 1 billionth of your actual rainfall field with a typical catchment. And this induces very large, potentially very large errors. There's an example here of a catchment on the east coast of Australia. There's a catchment outline here. The black crosses are the rain gauges, and the coloured area is the daily rainfall estimated from radar. Two things to note. First of all, there's no gauges in the catchment. And the second thing to note is that the gauges here completely miss this large, significant 50 mil a day rainfall event. And using this radar information, we can actually estimate what the errors in catchment rainfall is as a function of your observed rainfall. And you can see this is based on this catchment here. We're getting errors of the order of between 0.5 and 1.5, factoring your actual catchment rainfall. The other source of error is your stream flow error. You've got to remember that we don't actually measure stream flow. What we measure is river height, and then we convert that into stream flow using our rating curve model. These errors get affected by any rating curve errors, especially in extrapolation. Larger events, you get larger uncertainty. And generally, you can expect around 5 to 20% standard errors. Here's an example here of a rating curve, height versus runoff, and you can see the dots here are the gaugings. You can see here we've got lots of gaugings in the lower end, but not so many down in the upper end. Now, if we plot those on the time series of your stream flow from that particular catchment, you can see here that we've got lots of gaugings here down the lower end, but in the upper end, we've got not many gaugings, only fewer around here. And these were done back in the 1960s and in the 1980s. Okay, so we've only got a lot of these stream flow points are only based, these stream flow estimations are only based on two or three points, and this induces a large uncertainty. The approach that we take to incorporate these is called the Bayesian Total Error Analysis Framework. It's an approach to model calibration and prediction, which integrates these processes and these uncertainties. So what we do, instead of just taking the observed input and putting it straight into our model and comparing it against the observed output, what we do is we have an error model in here. So take the observed input, put an error model, put that into our hydrological model, compare and use simulated output and compare that against our observed by taking into account the errors. The advantages of this approach is that the data errors are integrated into your model calibration and prediction. And the results we've shown so far is that this removes the parameter and prediction bias, because you can spend subconsciously, you're often trying to fit to those peaks, and those peaks have a lot of error in them because you're extrapolating a rainfall curve. So often, I've done it myself, you're actually calibrating to the errors in the data as opposed to the true processes. So by taking into account the errors, it removes those biases. And you've also, another key source of error are structural errors, and these are estimated simultaneously with your data errors. And this enables quantification of the sources of uncertainty on model predictions. I'm going to give an example catchment where we've applied this. This is a catchment we work with people in France, the French critical CSIRO. We've actually applied this to a catchment over in France. We estimated the rainfall and runoff error prior, and we integrated this into calibration prediction of the hydrological model. And what we found, this plot here shows the black dots are your observed, the grey area is your total predictive limits, and the red area is, in this case, it's your structural errors in your model, and on the right-hand side, this is your rainfall errors in your model. So you can see when you compare the red area to the grey area on this plot versus the red area and the grey area on this right plot, you can see that the structural errors in this exceed the actual rainfall errors in this particular catchment. And this information is really, really useful because we need to improve our model in this particular case. We don't need to go out and collect any more rainfall data because we know it's quite good. Okay, so in summary, hydrological model predictions are a key link between climate model predictions and management decisions. Their predictive performance is highly variable. They can do well in some catchments, not so well in the others. To improve the predictions, a key component of that is to quantify the sources of that uncertainty. Unfortunately, this is no free lunch. This requires a lot of challenging. Our lot of creativity means we have to go back to all of our data sources. However, there are techniques called the Bayesian total error analysis approach, which integrate the sources of uncertainty into model calibration and prediction. I think this is a great opportunity to improve hydrological predictions to plan for the impacts of climate change. Thank you very much.
For information on the Environment Institute, visit www.adelaide.edu.au/environment. You can subscribe to our RSS feed, feed.theenvironmentinstitute.com.